Father, we thank you now for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be together today. God, we pray today as we look at this subject again, Lord, you remind us, Lord, of what you've done for us. And God, how you have so graciously forgiven us, Lord, and given us eternal life. And God, help us, Lord, to be forgivers also as we go through this life. We know sometimes it's a challenge. It's hard. And the flesh can't, don't want to do it. I pray the Spirit of God will work in our hearts. And God, help us to be more like you. Thank you again for each one here today. And I pray now, Lord, as we open your word together, that you would teach us all we need this week. Lord, you know what we're going to face. You know where we're going to go. Who we're going to see. And God, I pray you'd help prepare us, Lord, for the days ahead until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now turn right back to chapter 7. Of Luke chapter 7 today. Again, as we look at this example of forgiveness, Luke chapter number 7. We're going to begin reading in verse number 36 in just a minute. First of all, let me say in this account, we have a contrast here. We have a contrast between a sinful woman and a scornful Pharisee. We see here that we know that no people were more hostile to Christ than the Pharisees. They didn't like him. They despised him. In this account today, as we look at it, most Bible teachers tell us that it probably happened in Capernaum. Well, that's where Jesus spent a lot of his earthly time while he was here on this earth, in Capernaum. But we see here an occasion of Christ being reproached for the very fact of being a friend to publicans and sinners. He was being reproached because of this. And we get into this account now, we're going to see here what's going on. Verse 36 says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is Christ, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down." Now, here's a very unusual situation. Again, the Pharisees hated Christ. And here we find a Pharisee desiring Jesus to go to his house and to eat with him. In verse 40, we see this Pharisee's name was Simon. Of course, Simon the Pharisee, not Simon the Apostle, but he was Simon the Pharisee. There's a lot of Simons mentioned in the Bible. But this is Simon the Pharisee. And we see here, yet we see that Jesus was given an invitation to come to be with a Pharisee. Something that is very awkward, something very unusual. And what's also unusual is that is the fact that Jesus accepted the invitation to go to the Pharisee's house and to eat with him. Now, what does that tell us about Jesus? That tells me about Jesus that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Pharisee, Sadducee, it didn't matter who it was. He was willing to go wherever he needed to go and try to do what his Father wanted him to do to try to help people see that he was the Messiah, he was the Savior. So we see here this occasion, what's going on now. As Jesus went into the house, we see what takes place. Now, verse number 37, look at verse number 7 here, something else happened. "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." And now here's a lady that the Bible says is a sinner. She was a prostitute. She was a very wicked lady here. And we see that she found out that Jesus was going to be in this Pharisee's house. And we find that she wanted to go also. So we see here, first of all, where she went and sat in the Pharisee's house. And her purpose was, look at the last part of the verse, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. She was going to go there to anoint Jesus when she got there. Where she went and why she went. Okay, we find here with this, the great respect here of this lady here, as she showed him, we find here. So today we're going to look at this. First of all, the sinful woman, and then the scornful Pharisee, and then the Savior Christ. Okay? We're looking here at the sinful woman, first of all, we find where she came. She came to the Pharisee's house. Why did she come? She came to put ointment on Jesus' feet. Now notice, she came here as a woman, as a sinner, as a harlot. She was very infamous in the country, in the town. She was known for her wickedness, so to speak. And she came to the Pharisee's house here, and she came to acknowledge an obligation that she had to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, We see here, first of all, her deep humility. Look at verse number 38. She came to his house there and brought the box to ointment. And verse 38 says, and she stood at his feet. Notice, where? Behind him. Notice, she stood at Jesus' feet behind him. And what was she doing? Weeping. She was weeping. She was very sorrowful. She was a sinful lady yet, but she was very sorrowful for her deeds. The Bible says, she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, Jesus is facing one way. She comes in behind him and she begins to weep. She begins to cry. Now, all of us have cried in our lives, I think, at different times about different things. But just think about this. A lady crying enough that she had water enough from her tears to wash Jesus' feet. Now, you think about that. That's a lot of water. I don't mean she had a basin full, but she had enough to get in her hands to wet his feet, okay? But she had enough tears to use her tears to wash his feet. That's an awesome thought, folks. Weeping that much about Jesus and who he is. The very fact of what she's thinking about here. So she came out of love here. Her deep humiliation for sin in her life. This lady was broken. She was broken because of her own behavior, because of her own life and things she'd been doing in her life. She was broken. And she came to where Jesus was, willing to wash his feet with her tears and literally dry his feet with her hair or her head. She did not look at Christ in the face because she was ashamed of herself. She was ashamed of her own life and all this. And see, but came behind him as a servant to serve him, to wash his feet, again, with her tears. She stood behind him weeping, the Bible says. Her eyes, up to this point, have been inlets and outlets of sin. She was a sinner, just like all of us. She was a prostitute, all kinds of wickedness. Her eyes had only seen sin in and out, you see. Her eyes, and now she makes them a fountain. Now they're made a fountain of tears because she's in the very presence of Jesus where he is, and she's weeping because of the fact that she's broken. She's broken within herself because of who she is and the life she has lived up to this point. She's broken. She's a broken lady. We see this here. So we see her eyes now become a fountain of tears. Her hair becomes a towel to wipe off the feet of Jesus, you see. And her hair before was plaited and we see adorned. Here's a lady that's weeping. She's broken. And she comes to the Pharisee's house where Jesus is to be there with him. To be there with him. Now, we notice something else about this lady here. We see the lady also, her strong affection to the Lord. Her strong affection to the Lord. She found out where Jesus was going to be, and she made an effort to be there. And she came prepared to do what she wanted to do. Not only was she broken, but she was burdened also. She was burdened. See, she had strong affection. She washed her feet with tears. And these were tears of joy. Tears of joy. You remember the day you got saved? I do. There was tears in my eyes. My heart was broken. My heart was convicted. And there was tears of joy in my life. Tears of joy are great things to have, folks. They really are. Tears of joy. You see, she had a strong affection of him, and she wiped those tears of joy with her hair. With her hair. Here's a lady, a sinful woman. A sinful woman we find. Her eyes yielded water to wash his feet. To wash his feet. And again, just think about how much water is that. How much water is that? Her hair with a towel. She anointed his feet with an ointment here, the Bible says. In verse number 38, we find this is what happened here. But notice something takes place here in verse 39. Here she is. She's come all this way where Jesus is. She's done all these things. She's broken and she's burdened about herself. And she goes up behind Jesus, becomes a servant, to wash his feet, to dry his feet, and to anoint his feet. And then what happened in verse number 39? Verse 39 says, now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. When the Pharisee, the person that invited Jesus to his house, when he saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, talking about Jesus, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is. Man, was he not smart, was he? Is that touches him, for she is a what? A sinner. A sinner. Now, did not Jesus know that? Of course he did, because he knows all things. He was God. He was God in the flesh. Well, here's a Pharisee, a scornful Pharisee. Okay? A scornful Pharisee. Now, notice what happened in verse 40. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, this is his name, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Simon will get you straight. I want you to understand what I'm fixing to say to you. And Simon said, Master, say on. And Jesus began in verse number 41. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Logical question, right? Logical example. Which one's going to love him the most? And notice what happened. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Thou hast rightly judged. And we see here the offense here, his expression in verse number 39. The Pharisee's expression to Jesus about this sinful woman. And if you were a prophet, you would know that this lady is wicked. She's a sinner. And then we see not only that, but we also, he exposes to this Pharisee a parable, a situation here, and try to explain to him that we all need to forgive, no matter who it is, no matter what it is. We sometimes see here how proud and narrow our souls are to think that others should be like us. But other people don't need to be like us. We all need to be like who? Jesus. We all need to be like Jesus, you see. So we see here what takes place here now as he goes on with this. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 44. As Christ here is trying to justify of the woman and what she did. Look at verse number 44. Jesus, and he turned to the woman, notice, and said to Simon. That's interesting. He turned to the woman and said to Simon. Okay? Notice what he says here. Seest thou this woman? Simon, look at this woman. You see her? He says, I entered into thine house. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisee now. I came into your house, he says, and you gave me no water for my feet, but you have washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. He also said to the Pharisee, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Now, Jesus is trying to explain to this Pharisee the humiliation and the love of this woman towards him, and what have you done towards me as a Pharisee? Notice he says also, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. So we see what happened here. Christ reasons with the Pharisees. Yes, the woman has been a sinner. He knew it. Look at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, Jesus says, are what? They're forgiven. Her sins, which were many, now are forgiven. Why? For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. This woman now, she's a sinner. He knew it. However, she is pardoned. She's a pardoned sinner, which hath repented of her sins because of her act toward Jesus Christ, what she did before Jesus. She humbled herself before Jesus. She washed his feet. She wiped his feet. She anointed his feet. A symbol of humiliation, you see here, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we see she's pardoned because she's repented, you see. My, what a story we have here of Jesus and the Pharisee, the scornful Pharisee. you know, like people sometimes we are in the world even today. You know, Jesus knows the heart. He knew the heart of the woman. He knew the heart of the Pharisee, didn't he? He knew what was going on with both of them's lives. Yet we find here a good illustration of forgiveness, human forgiveness here in the life of this individual, you see. Now, what she did to him was an expression of her love to her Savior. What she did to him was an expression of her love to her Savior. Now, Jesus was in the Pharisee's house. The woman was there. And we see here that Jesus, speaking by a parable, shows Simon here something that he ought to acknowledge that the greater sinner this woman had been, the greater love she ought to express towards me. And she did that. And then therefore her sins were forgiven. Her sins were forgiven. Just like he talked about the parable of the certain creditor, which people owed. And he forgave both of them. He forgave both of them. And which one was to forgive the most? The one that they owed the most. Okay? So we see here, this is what he's telling us. He applies this parable different to the conduct of the Pharisee and to the sinner. In verse 44 through verse 46. Notice, he said in verse 44 again, and he turned to the woman and said to Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, the Pharisee, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Now, is that not humiliation? Is that not love? Is that not love? I tell you, there's an expression of love that is beyond comprehension, folks. A woman would do such as that. And knowing what she was, what she had, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. She's gone over and beyond. Not only she washed me, she anointed my feet, she dried my feet, and all these things you see. So we see here, as he applies this parable here to the conduct of the Pharisee and the sinner, we see, first of all, he silenced the Pharisee in verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He silenced the Pharisee because the Pharisee was not willing to acknowledge his sins, you see, his sins at all. Now let's notice in verse number 48 through 50. We've talked about the sinful woman. We talked about this scornful Pharisee. Now let's look at the saving Christ. The saving Christ. I like this. Notice first of all in verse number 48. After he acknowledged to the Pharisee the fact, in verse 47, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. In verse 48, and he said to her, what did he say to her? Thy sins are what? Forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. Your humiliation, your love for me and about yourself. You remember she was broken, she was burdened, now she believed. She believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart? He saves you. He forgives you, don't you? Well, see what Jesus forgave in verse 48. Thy sins are what? Forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. That means how many of her sins? All her sins. Her past was full of what? Wickedness and sinfulness, like mine was, like yours was. And Jesus says, thy sins are forgiven. Aren't you glad that when Jesus saves you, he forgives all your sins? Thank God he did mine. Thank God with this wicked woman here, this sinful woman, Jesus forgave all her sins. All her sins, you see. Christ still forgives. Why did he forgive her? Verse 49. It says, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Who is this man? Who can forgive sins also? A question they had. What's going on here? You see. And notice what happened. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. A word about faith here. Faith had saved thee. Why? How did this lady get saved? She got saved by what? faith through what? Grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like anybody gets saved. She had faith. If I can go where Jesus is, I can get up front of his house and show my, and ask him to help me and do what I can do for him, humble myself before him, he'll save me. Because I got faith that he will. No doubt she had got tired of her life, has she not? She was tired of running around. She was tired of living in sin. And maybe she had acknowledged to herself that she needs something different in her life. And when she did, that's when she was at the point of going to Jesus. Aren't you glad that you were sitting in the pew one day? On Sunday morning, Sunday night, you might have been sitting in a house, your home, in your living room, wherever you were. And somebody has opened the Word of God and preached or taught the Word of God to you, read the Scriptures to you, and the Spirit of God began to work in your heart and deal with you and draw you and convict you and convict you of your sins, and you come to Christ as your personal Savior. My, what a glad day that was. What a glad day this was for this lady, folks. A sinful lady, wicked lady, a harlot, very infamous in the world she lived in. But yet now, she came to Jesus. And when she came to Jesus in the right heart, right attitude, God forgave her. He forgave her. I'm so glad today to know that Jesus still saves. He still saves. You know, he has pleasure in forgiving. You know that? Jesus wants to forgive everybody. He loves everybody. Those out there in the world that we talk to, that we have to deal with sometimes, that maybe are not Christians, remember this, Christians, Jesus still loves them, and Jesus will forgive them. We are to present the gospel, not only in word, but our actions. Things we do, present him before them, that they might want to know Christ as their personal Savior also. I'm glad today to know that Jesus still forgives. He still forgives. I'm glad today that we had a record of a couple weeks ago, some of our young people here in this church got saved. That's good news to me. I love to hear about somebody getting saved, folks. I really do. It's joy in my heart. And I know there's rejoicing in heaven when it happens. And we ought to rejoice a little bit on this earth when it happens too, folks, to know that some of our people that come to this church have gotten saved. What a joy it is to know that he loves, he has pleasure in forgiving. He loves to speak pardon and peace to repentant people. He loves to speak pardon and forgiveness to repentant people. Overflowing love is a natural response to forgiveness and the consequence of faith. Overflowing love. You remember, again, the day you got saved, how your heart was flooded with love? Overflowing love. See, this is the consequence of a natural response to forgiveness. When we're forgiven of our sins, we love. We love, why? Because we've been loved. We love, why? Because we've been forgiven of our sins. And we thank God for that today and what he's done for us and what he wants to do for us through all the rest of our life. I really believe all my heart that only those who realize the depth of their sin can appreciate God's forgiveness. The depth of our sin. It doesn't matter if I was in church, lost, and I came up in church, and I was lost. So I became a teenager. But I was just as wicked, as far as God's concerned, as a man out there in the street drunk, wherever he was. I still need to be saved. I still need to be saved. I still need to be forgiven. You see, all of us are in the same boat. And thank God, when Jesus saves us, when he forgives us, he gives us joy. He gives us a life that is overflowing with joy. So we see some things here today. I want to remind you of this. I heard a good message the other night about Hannah, her life, and how God used her. And I look at this lady today, this lady that was a sinner. In verse 38, again, we see she was broken when she came to Jesus. She was broken. That's the key, folks. You have to be broken when you come to Jesus if you want to get saved. You don't come to Jesus the way we are, proud and all this. We have to be broken. And it takes the Word of God, the Spirit of God to break us, doesn't it? this flesh will not break itself. It takes the power of God, His Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful, is it not? Piercing to us. We sign here that she was broken in verse 38. In verse number 47, she was burdened. She was burdened about her condition spiritually. She was lost. She was living wrong. She was living like she should not be living. And she became burdened towards her own life. You know, that's what we need today, folks. In my life, I need to be burdened more. You know, I'm afraid, as I heard someone say this past week, and I say this in love, I'm afraid that prosperity has ruined us. It's ruined us. We're no longer broken. I'm no longer broken like I should be about sinners. Do I really care that people are lost and people are going to go to hell when they die? Am I broken? This lady was broken. Jesus was broken, even to go into a Pharisee house, there to eat with him. He was broken about that Pharisee himself. Not only that, we find the lady was burdened. I must confess, it's been a long time since I prayed for somebody that I know that's lost. Are we burdened? Are we burdened for people? We have a prayer list we read out every 3 weeks, a salvation list. But I wonder, do we just read that list and that's it? Are we really burdened for people to be forgiven of their sins? Brokenness, burdened, are we concerned? How many of us have loved ones that are lost? Raise your hand. All of us do. Now the question is, when was the last time I prayed for one of my loved ones that was lost? When was the last time I prayed for them? When was the last time I tried to make an effort to go to them and talk to them? Send them a card, pick up the phone, talk to them, text them, do something to try to help them to realize they're lost. Again, I say, I think we're so blessed that we have got satisfied and we don't want nothing else. We don't want nothing else. I'm afraid we're kind of like the church at Laodicea. We have become lukewarm. We've forgotten our first love. We don't love people. I say we, me first. We don't love people the way we ought to love people, folks. We're caught up with the world, going along with the world, having no brokenness, having no burden for people that need the Savior. May God help us today as we look at this life of this lady, example of forgiveness, how Jesus forgave her when she came to him, when she came to him. We also notice she believed in verse 50. Thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. Believing. If people would believe on Jesus and call upon him with a broken heart and a burdened heart, he's promised to save them, hasn't he? He's promised to forgive them. And we see this in the life of this lady here today. This story, a sinful woman and a scornful Pharisee. The Pharisee went away like he was. And thank God that the lady, the sinful lady, she went away saved. She went away rejoicing. She had more tears. She was shedding more tears now because of her, God had forgiven her and given her eternal life. And we see the Savior also. He's broken today, no doubt. He was broken about the Pharisee. He was burdened about this lady and her need. He was burdened. Do you know, I believe Jesus is burdened about the world today. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, did he not? He's burdened. I wonder if he's burdened about me in the life I'm living, I'm not living. He was burdened. And Jesus says, if you just believe, I'll save you. I'll save you. Forgiveness. Another example of forgiveness in the Word of God. How Jesus is in the very midst of all this thing about forgiveness. Without him, folks, we cannot be forgiven. It's all about him. It's all about him. May God help me. May God help you today to realize that we need to be more broken for people. We need to be more burdened for people. And with that way, God will use us to help those people somehow to become believers. I don't know about you, but I want to see somebody saved, don't you? I would love to see those waters. There's no water in there now. Let's see that thing full of water and it's stirring every week. I really would. Why aren't people being saved? Why aren't people coming to Christ? What's going on in the world today? Can somebody tell me? I don't know. I know God knows. But I'll be two of the key factors is there's no brokenness in the lives of believers, and there's no burden in our heart for the lost. We're focusing on everything else but that. And that should be the main thing in our lives. You know that? The main thing is to see people saved. Present Christ to people. And help them know that, hey, you can be saved also. You can be saved also. I heard a testimony this past week. A young boy got saved about 3 years ago in a camp meeting service. He was in church. He'd been in church most of his life. God held his heart. He went forward. A camp meeting. The preacher said, son, called him by name. He said, I thought you were already saved. He said, Pastor, I'm not saved. I've been putting on the front. I'm not saved. I need to get saved. I just want them to know that a person that's been to church maybe all his life, people thought he was saved, but he knew within his heart he wasn't saved himself. And God convicted him. He went forward and got saved. He had testimony of that the other night. I heard about it. You know, we don't know. As we go out visiting, I learned a long time ago, never assume that anybody you talk to is saved. Never. Until you ask them, then you'll know. If they tell you the truth, you'll know. But until you ask them, you'll never know. Let's never assume. My prayer is for me. I hope it is for you. That God will break me. God will burden me with people that are lost. They too need to be forgiven. And God will forgive them if they come to Him. Father, thank You for loving us in spite of us. We thank You, dear God, for the examples in the Word of God that You've shown us, Lord, about forgiveness. Brother forgiving brother. You forgiving people. Lord, in other examples we talked about, I thank You, Lord, that You still forgive. And God, I pray, Lord, You'd help us, remind us, Lord, each day, the people we confront. May You burden our heart, as Brother Alford has already talked about talking to them about Christ before we may never see them again. We probably won't. But Lord, there's an opportunity. Lord, if You open the door for us, I pray, God, You give us the faith, the courage we need to step out and to share the good news with people that need to hear about Jesus. While there's people hurting everywhere. And God, I just pray, God, You help Your children, help all of us, Lord, to be aware of the fact that people need the Lord. And God, we need You more in our life. We need You to be filling of the Spirit of God that we might be what we ought to be. God, make us what we ought to be. Break us, dear God. Burden us, dear God, for lost people. God bless now the service we're about to go into. Have Your willing way in the preaching and the singing. Lord, may all this done today bring honor to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.